Welcome back to another episode of the Tea Dye Podcast. Man, I am so glad to be bringing you guys yet another episode. For anybody that might be new, my name is Ryan. I'm the host of the Tea Dye Podcast. I'm just your average run-of-the-mill guy. I love playing golf. I'm about a 17.7 handicap, so you might as well just call me an 18 handicap right now. Love playing golf. Love watching golf on TV. Love talking about golf. So here I am. Here we go. This week, we're talking about Max Homa winning at Torrey Pines Farmers Insurance Open. We're going to be talking about Rory and Patrick Reed and Teagate. We're going to be talking about Paige Spiranek and her new OnlyPage account. And we're also going to be doing a quick preview of what's to come this week in golf. I'm also going to do a recap of the weekend in the NFL and a preview of the Super Bowl. So, you guys, thanks for joining. Hope you guys enjoy this episode. There will be a clip from my interview with Rachel Seymour. She is a fantastic young lady, lives in California. She's been in the golf industry or surrounded by the golf industry basically her entire life. She now works for a company called Trendy Golf. So look forward to that small clip and the full episode, the full interview of myself and Rachel will be coming soon. Still working on some stuff with that, but let's get right into it. Huge shout out to the guys at Busta Jack. Mad Jack, Busta, appreciate you guys. Had a blast meeting you guys in Texas last year at your very first Invitational. Hoping I get a chance to maybe go to another one here soon. So you guys are doing fantastic things. But let's get right into it, man. Max brings it Homa. Max Homa goes 13 under par, wins the Farmers Insurance. And honestly, man, like I couldn't be happier for him. I heard a stat earlier this week that Max Homa in the past 20 months has more wins on the PGA Tour than any other player. Couldn't happen to a better guy. He is by far the best face for professional golf that we've seen to date, in my opinion. Super funny, very humble, doesn't take himself too seriously, an incredibly good golfer. This week, he helped launch a brand new initiative that the PGA Tour is working on. And during the third round at the Farmers Insurance, they mic up Max Homa as if it was part of like the Capital One, the match. He puts an AirPod in his ear, tees off on the, I think the 13th hole, it's par 5, hits his tee shot. And then the whole time that he's walking this par 5 in the middle of a competitive tournament, he's having a full-on conversation with three separate announcers so that we as fans of golf can get an insight into what is going on in his mind, what are the things that he thinks about leading up to certain shots, and just overall, what his demeanor is on the golf course. I was blown away, man. I've been looking and waiting for something like this for such a long time. I cannot wait for the PGA Tour to do this more. Guys like Jordan Spieth would be great to have on the mic. I mean, we already hear him enough as it is on hot mics. We might as well just put an ear pod in his ear and let's talk to him for an entire hole. Kevin Kisner would be a great guy to have on there. So this is an exciting step forward in making golf more interesting for everybody to watch, in my opinion. And I'm excited about it. I couldn't be looking forward to anything else more than this going forward. And Max Homa does that. Does this interview, this very first time any PGA Tour player's ever done this, breaks in this new initiative, and then he goes and wins the tournament the next day shooting 6 under par. I mean, couldn't have been a sweeter story. Congratulations, Max, to you and Lace and your beautiful baby boy. Max's first win on the PGA Tour as a father with his son in attendance with his wife. You guys, Max and Lace, just down-to-earth people, and I wish you nothing but the best this year. Who knows, man? Maybe Max will bring home at least one major this year. That'd be pretty awesome to watch. I think the PGA is going to be at LA Country Club. So, you know, that's a home track for Max. He's got a ton of experience there. He knows that course really well. He plays very well on the West Coast in California. You know, growing up as a California kid, putts real well on Poana Green. So, you know, I think this might be the year that we see Max take home at least one major championship. And I'm here for it. I'm telling you right now. Switching gears, on the other side of the world, this weekend we had the Hero Dubai Classic. Oddly enough, this ended up being less about a golf tournament, and it was more about Patrick Reed throwing shit at Rory McIlroy on the driving range and cheating again. I mean, who would figure, right? So the storyline has nothing to do about the golf tournament. It just so happens that, you know, DP World Tour put on a golf tournament. Rory McIlroy shows up. Patrick Reed walks over, tries to shake hands with some of the people around with Rory, tries to just say hi to Rory, shake his hand, see how he's doing. McIlroy, whether he didn't hear him or didn't see him or knew that he was there and just intentionally completely ignored him, doesn't matter. I probably would have ignored him, especially given the fact that what we're going to talk about here in a second. But McIlroy snubs him. Patrick Reed kind of turns around to walk off, and then he stops for a second, pulls a golf tee out of his pocket, kind of tosses it in the direction of Rory McIlroy, and the headlines went ballistic. If you read any of the headlines leading up to this, it was presented as if Patrick Reed had full-on thrown a spear at Rory McIlroy's head. And honestly, all he did was gently toss a tee 5 feet in McIlroy's direction, and never came close to hitting him. Even if it had, it wouldn't have hurt. You know, the media's got to make a whole big frenzy out of it, and we got to make this some bigger deal than what it normally is. To me, I think the funniest part about it is that apparently, according to Patrick Reed, his golf tee has the Aces logo and name on it because of the LIV Tour team that he plays on. So, to me, I think that's kind of funny that he's throwing a LIV golf tour tee at Rory McIlroy, but that's beside the point. The reason that I believe that McIlroy was totally snubbing Patrick Reed and didn't want anything to do with him is that I think everybody at this point is pretty well aware of the fact that Patrick Reed has been trying to sue the PGA Tour, and in turn, that also includes some of the players that are on the PGA Tour. Well, Rory McIlroy is one of the people that's getting wrapped up in this Patrick Reed lawsuit, and apparently last year, on Christmas Eve, McIlroy was served a subpoena to appear in this lawsuit on Christmas Eve at his house while he's with his family. So I'm not going to lie, man. Like, somebody serves me a subpoena for a lawsuit on Christmas Eve and I'm with my family, I'm not going to take that very well. And I'm not going to want anything to do with that guy either. So good on you, Rory. I don't blame you one bit. I also love McIlroy's response to this entire thing in the media, and basically he's like, I don't understand why you guys are making this into such a big deal. This was like a non-issue. It wasn't even a thing. I didn't even know he had tossed anything in my direction. Like, why are we even talking about this? So another reason why I love Rory McIlroy so much. We also have another controversy surrounding Patrick Reed, especially when it comes to his play, his ethics, and his, you know, his trustworthiness. I think... Here's the deal, man. If it walks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, then it's probably a duck. And Patrick Reed has had example after example after example of his ability to cheat, his untrustworthiness, his ability, whether you want to call it him bending the rules, whatever it is, but I just don't trust the guy. I don't think very many people that follow professional golf trust this man anymore. He's had too many examples of him flat out blatantly cheating, whether he admits it or not, which is also kind of pathetic. Like, just fucking admit that you cheat. Especially when you take your sand wedge and you fluff a whole ton of sand away from the back of your ball during the Hero Invitational at Tiger's event in the Bahamas. Like, it's in 4K on TV that you're cheating in front of thousands of people. Don't try to deny that. But here we are again. We're at the Dubai Classic. We see Patrick Reed hit a shot, and it goes outside the fairway, hits a palm tree. It gets stuck in the palm tree. Patrick Reed, rules official, they all walk up. Now, technically, he's allowed to be able to, if he can identify his ball in that tree, then he's allowed to drop a ball where that tree is, instead of having to go all the way back to where he hit the shot and redo the shot. He's playing golf. He doesn't have the benefit of looking at video replays or video reviews. You know, us as fans watching at home, we can see the TV coverage perfectly clear, and we can see out of the three trees, there's one on the right side, there's one in the center, and there's one on the left side. We can see it clearly on the replay that the ball lands in the tree on the right. Patrick Reed doesn't know that. He's looking at a tree all the way on the left, so he's looking at the completely wrong tree from where his ball went. Apparently sees a golf ball in this palm tree, gets out some binoculars, and apparently he's able to describe some of the distinct markings that he's made on his golf balls to identify this ball as his. The rules officials really aren't allowed or in a position to be able to question that. They kind of just take these guys for their word because this is supposed to be a gentleman's game and they're supposed to be honor and you're supposed to be trustworthy. So the way that the rules are built, the officials are really not allowed to question him and tell him that he's wrong. they just have to take his word for it. So he says that he identifies his ball, he takes his relief right there at the bottom of the tree and hits his next shot. So here we are again, another incident where Patrick Reed is proving to everybody on planet Earth that he probably should not be a professional golfer anymore. Whether it's on LIV or the PGA Tour, I don't really give a crap. The guy just doesn't deserve to be playing professional golf at that level. You can't trust him. This is another of a series of events where he's proven that he's cheating live in real life. It's just fucking pathetic, and it's sad for the game of golf, honestly. And I feel bad for his other competitors having to put up with that shit all the time. Justice has been served, however. Even though Patrick Reed shoots 7-under on his final round to finish the tournament at 18-under par, McIlroy is able to birdie his 18th hole, the 72nd hole of this tournament, and beat Patrick Reed by one stroke, finishing at 19-under par. So congrats to Rory McIlroy on another win. This event is actually the very first event that McIlroy ever won in his professional golf career, so it's kind of sweet to see him come back and get another win at this venue. Again, congrats, Rory. Good on you, man. We also had a massive weekend in professional football. The NFL had their NFC and their AFC championship games this weekend. We had the Philadelphia Eagles going up against the San Francisco 49ers, and then we followed that up with the Kansas City Chiefs going up against the Cincinnati Bengals. If you guys listened to my last episode last Wednesday, you know that I said that the Cincinnati-Kansas City game was going to come down to whoever had possession of the ball at the very end of the game, and that is exactly what happened. It all came down to the very last possession. Kansas City got the ball. They end up kicking a field goal to win the game. Kansas City is going to the Super Bowl. It's just unreal, man. What Andy Reid has been able to do in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes, even though Patrick Mahomes has like a bum ankle from the divisional round where he sprained his ankle real bad in the beginning of the game, they pulled out another win. That's 5 years in a row now that Kansas City has hosted the AFC Championship game and another trip to the Super Bowl. We're going to see if Patrick Mahomes can bring back another Super Bowl ring. And then we had Philadelphia playing San Francisco. I really expected this game was going to be a tight game. I thought it was going to be a really defensive game. And for the most part, it really was actually a pretty defensive game. The unfortunate part about this is, you know, Brock Purdy he's a rookie. He was Mr. Irrelevant in the NFL draft this year. He's playing his heart out, man. This kid has won 7 straight games. He's got playoff wins. Then he goes into the NFC Championship game very early on in the game, tries to make a pass downfield, gets sacked, fumbles the ball, but the way that he got sacked, he actually ends up tearing his UCL. So he tore a ligament in his elbow. And it made it toward the rest of the game. He just wasn't able to get a good grip on the ball anymore. He wasn't able to complete any pass, like to throw the ball. And it's unfortunate. So San Francisco loses their best chance at QB. They pull in their now 4th string quarterback for the year because they've had so many QB injuries this year. Their 4th string quarterback ends up getting taken out of the game because of a concussion. Now they're talking about, is Kyle Juszczyk going to play quarterback? Is Christian McCaffrey going to play quarterback? You see all the offensive coaches, the quarterbacks coaches, they're on the sideline and they're running through playbooks with Christian McCaffrey and Kyle Juszczyk, just trying to get these guys like mentally prepared. At one point, McCaffrey was swapping helmets so that he could have the headset inside the helmet and hear play calls coming in case he had to take over the offense. Nutty, nutty turn of events. Fortunately, they did not end up having to use a running back to be a quarterback. Brock Purdy was able to come back in the game, but to be fair, all he really did was just hand the ball off the whole rest of the game, and the Eagles' defense was able to just plan for every single play to be a run, and they just dominated the rest of the game. So the Eagles end up just annihilating the 49ers. I'm an Arizona Cardinals fan, if you guys can't tell just by watching this video. So it doesn't really like hurt me at all that the 49ers lost. It's actually kind of nice to see them lose. But I will admit that it is really sad for the 49ers that they weren't able to compete at the level that they are capable of going into that NFC Championship game. And had Brock Purdy not hurt his elbow at the beginning of the game, it would have been interesting to see what kind of an outcome we would have ended up having, and could the 49ers have potentially won versus the Philadelphia Eagles winning. But we'll never know. That's all going to be speculation. So we have a Super Bowl set up coming up in 2 weeks. We've got the Philadelphia Eagles playing the Kansas City Chiefs. Here's a fun fact for you. The Super Bowl is being played in Glendale, Arizona, the home of the Arizona Cardinals. And this year, the Cardinals have one win at home in their stadium. The Kansas City Chiefs have one win in Phoenix's stadium. And the Philadelphia Eagles also have one win at the Cardinals stadium. So whoever wins, whether it's the Kansas City Chiefs or the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl, will finish out this season with more wins at the Cardinals stadium than the fucking Cardinals had all year. And that really hurts my heart. That really sucks. Kind of funny, but it also really sucks. Just a testament to the type of year that the Arizona Cardinals had. And we're going to try to move on. Put a comment in the comment section. Tell me who you think's winning the Super Bowl. Kansas City winning or is Philly winning? Who's your pick? I'm going to say Philadelphia is going to win. I'm picking the Eagles to win the Super Bowl. They are just playing absolute lights out football right now. I can't see any mistakes on offense, special teams, or on defense. You know, Jalen Hurts, he can run, he can throw. Their running game is astounding. Their defense is top-notch right now, so I really think Philly's going to pull this out, and I'm not going to be surprised if this turns into a shootout. I won't be surprised if we have a really high-scoring game at the end of the Super Bowl. My prediction, we're probably going something like 42-35 or something like that. I think it'll probably be a pretty high-scoring game, so be interesting to see what happens, but you guys are hearing it right now. My pick is Philly to win the Super Bowl this year, so we'll see what happens. I hope you guys enjoy this clip of my interview with Rachel Seymour. I'm working on getting the entire interview put together and so I can post that on my YouTube channel here soon. Great conversation with this young lady out of California. Thank you guys so much for sticking around. Please do me a favor. If you guys are enjoying the way that I'm doing this, if you like the format, leave me a comment. Please make sure you like, subscribe to all my different channels. If you're listening to the podcast now on Spotify or Apple or iHeartRadio or Google or Amazon, whatever, like, you know, follow the podcast for me, please. Leave a 5-star review if you like it. If you don't like it, leave a 1-star review. I don't care. But I really enjoy doing this, and I love getting feedback from people to see what I could do different to make this more enjoyable. So drop me comments. Send me an email at titheyepodcast@gmail.com if you want. You guys can see me on TikTok, TitHighPodcast on TikTok. You can see me on Instagram, T_it_high_podcast. Leave me a comment, follow me, share, whatever. If you're on my YouTube channel, please like, subscribe, leave a comment. I really appreciate it. I'm trying to grow this for you guys. And let's get back into the podcast.
Well, here's a scary thought for you. Go back to when you were like 12 years old.
Okay.
Did you have a diary?
Yeah, definitely.
That you would write. You would write everything in whatever's going on in your world. You could write it in your diary. Did you hide it? Nobody. Yes. Nobody can look at my diary. If somebody looked at your diary, you'd probably want to kill them. Like, how dare you?
I still do that. Yeah.
Okay, so now imagine you're 12 years old, and your school that you're going to has every single page of your diary and every single word of your diary on TV screens and projectors all across the school. And every single kid that you go to school with can read every single one of your deepest, darkest secrets that you've written in this diary. And then they can all comment on it and they can all voice an opinion on it. That's what social media is.
It's not that bad. That would be terrible as a 12-year-old. Okay. Like you can't do that to my 12-year-old self.
But that's what so many people like. That's what people are, that if you think about it, like it's basically just like a running diary of people's lives that we're just allowing anybody that has access to the internet to look at. And it's like, my sister said this to me one time. She's like, when did it become a cool thing to like just tell everybody what was in your diary? Like nobody would have ever done that. No 12-year-old little girl writing in her diary would have been like, here's, let the world read this and let me hear what you have to say about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's so funny to think about, mostly because, you know, when you're 12, you're 12. And yeah, my mom will say things like that too. Like, okay, well, like, why do we have to tell people like everything that's going on in your life or in your head? And it's like, no, you don't. Like, you don't have to tell people anything. You don't owe people anything. And that's, you know, partly why, like, you know, I don't want to talk about golf all the time, or like, you know, it's like the drinking thing, which like we can get into, but it's like, God, I don't even want to say humans are so complex. So it's like you put one thing out, we change your mind. It's just like,
yeah,
it's stupid. You are opening your, like opening a can of worms and opening yourself up to a lot of like backlash. But so back in April of last year, it was just when my whole entire life just fucking blew up in flames. I went, like, I was freelancing, and then I was like, this isn't working. I need a real stable job. And I just like applied to be a personal assistant. I probably like can't talk about it because I signed an NDA, but like, yeah, I can talk about it now. I won't tell people what it was for, but I was doing that. I was a personal assistant for 2 months and I was making good money. But it was like, I was like, what am I doing? Like, this is not like, how did I get here? I was like one of those moments, but they set me up with this program called Atlas program. And like, if you Google it, like nothing even, or it's called like Project Atlas or something. When you Google it, like nothing even comes up. It's like, is this a cult? What is this? And they're like, we want everybody to do it. Like, who works for us? And I was like, okay. And it's $3,000. Like, I would never do that for myself. Right. So they signed me up and it's like three weekends, and weekends it's Wednesday through Sunday. You start at 10 a.m. You don't end until 12 o'clock at night, and you're in a room with like 30 people and you don't know them. And it's like the gnarliest thing I've ever done. So like the first weekend is called Explore, and you are just like diving into your deep, dark secrets and like why you're such a fucked up person. And you're like doing this in front of 30 strangers, and you're just like, I was like miserable, right? The first 3 days I was like, why am I here? Like, I can't believe they signed me up for this. And then something happens and you just like, it ended up being the best experience. Like the best thing I ever did for myself. The second weekend's called Breakthrough. And so, you know, Explore, you're like figuring yourself out. And then Breakthrough, you're kind of just like, if it almost feels like you die a little bit and you like shed this old skin and you come out of it like whole new person and you see things so differently. The reason why I'm talking about this though is because during those weekends, like if you weren't sharing and if you weren't talking and if you weren't participating, you weren't going to get anything out of it. And it took me until the very last day of the first weekend. I was like one of the few people that did not say a word, which is hilarious because I'm talking so much right now, but like I didn't say anything. Like I was like, you know, what I have, like what I've been through, like, I don't want people to know. And like, we can talk about that this too. Like, I'm happy to talk about it with you, but I have never shared like my traumas or like with anybody. And I was like, no way. Now I'm about to fucking tell 30 people, like my worst things that's ever happened to me. And I ended up talking, like telling them. And then I, you know, just went through the second weekend and I just felt such a, like, just like a weight has like lifted off of my shoulders. And I think the main thing that I'm getting to is like by not sharing, and I'm not saying you have to share with the fucking internet, but by not talking about the hard things, like you don't realize like how much weight and how much you carry them like with you until you do start talking about them. Every time you talk, you kind of like release them and you let them go, and like they stop holding power over you. And I think that's why sharing, or like people feel like sharing, because it's like, it is such a like, okay, well, if I share, then it doesn't hold power over me. And that is partially why I have started sharing more, because it's like, the more I keep this bottled up inside, the more it's like, just, you know, oh, winning or something. And I don't know. I think going through that experience, if I did not do that, I would not be so open like on social media like I have been. And I'm just so happy that I did that, because it was a catalyst for so much change in my life and so much growth. Like these people were like, oh, you're probably gonna quit this job after you go through it. And I did, because I was like, life's too fucking short. Like, I'll find a different job. I want to do like something that I want to do. And I'm 26 years old. I don't want to be stressed out over like something that doesn't even matter. It just puts such a shift in perspective. And it's one thing to read the self-help books, because like I've read them all, right? Like Untethered Soul, like 101 Essays, all of the same books that we've all read. Like I have read them, but to go through an experience like that and actually like when people say like, be in the present moment, like you can change your life, like you are choosing this, everything that you are doing, like you are choosing. And I think once I took responsibility for that, and that's when it all changed for me. I was like, yeah, I am choosing to be fucking miserable every single day. And like, I can change that. Wow, who knew? Long-winded way of saying, I feel like sharing. But again, you don't have to share on social media. Like, share with your friends, share with your family, share with people you trust. I like the way the culture is changing in that it's becoming more acceptable to share the hard things, to talk about the things that are hard. Because I think that was a problem. Like, you know, the older generation, like they don't talk about anything bad. Like everything's great, when it's like, no, bad things happen and you can talk about them and it's not taboo to talk about. Like, it shouldn't be. I just went off.
That's okay. That's what I love about this. Like, just being able to listen to you talk. That's why I love doing this podcast, because I get to have these moments with so many different unique people that I would have never met in my entire life any other way.
Yeah.
And this podcast is like, when I do these conversations with people, it's way less about me and it's way more about you.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to let you continue talking as long as you need to in any given moment. But I think that's a fantastic segue, because one of the reasons why I was really interested in having you come on is I have a passion for like the mental health aspect of it. And I feel like you have a lot of things that you've experienced in your life that, in my opinion, sadly, too many other women have experienced in their lives. And I wanted to give you an opportunity to just talk about some of the things that you've been through and some of the hard times that you've had, what it was like going through it, how you've been able to pull yourself out of it, how you've been able to grow from it, and just kind of give you that platform to talk about it and not have to necessarily like write in a diary or, you know, make a TikTok video about it.
Yeah. And like skirt around, because I think it is, again, it's crazy. Like every time I do like think about it still, or like just bring it up, like it's so interesting how the body keeps the score. That's a book on trauma, but like your body does remember. And like, and anytime I do think about it, like my heart starts beating really fast. I'm like, it got like sweaty or like whatever. But it's so funny. Like if I didn't go through that Atlas program, like I would never feel comfortable like sharing. And I think most people, a lot of women, like we don't talk about these sorts of things, but you asked me, you know, like the reason I talked about it on social media is because you asked, you know, why are you not drinking? And like my relationship with alcohol. But you know, the story is,
I really hope you guys enjoyed that clip of my conversation with Rachel. Again, pay attention. Hopefully soon I'll be able to have the entire interview posted for you guys to be able to watch and listen to. But for now, let's talk about what's happening this week in golf. We have one of my absolute favorite golf tournaments of the entire year, the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Number one, I love the fact that they mix a professional golf tournament with professional golfers who are playing for a trophy and prize money and FedEx Cup points with a pro-am with amateur golfers that are allowed to play the entire 4 days all the way up until Championship Sunday to try to take home an amateur title during this event. I think it's fantastic. It's a charity event. The last time I looked, I could be wrong on the numbers right now, but the last time I looked, it was either a $25,000 donation or you had to be invited to come and play, one of the two. So they're raising a ton of money to help local charities, which is always fantastic. I'm really excited for some of the guys that are going to be playing out there. I'm more focused on the amateurs that are playing, less focused on the pros this week. That's why it's one of my favorite weeks of golf. I love Larry Fitzgerald goes out there every year. I love watching him play. He is an absolute stick. Then you got guys like Darius Rucker going out there. You got Eric Church going out there. Alfonso Ribeiro going out there. Come on, Carlton, let's get her done. So yeah, this is just a super fun weekend of golf to watch. It's one of the weeks where if you're going to watch golf, watch this event. You get a lot of different insights. You get a lot of interviews of the players as they're walking. Usually they'll put Amanda Renner up on like the 17th hole, and after the guys tee off and they're walking down to the green, she'll walk with them and do interviews. So it's just a different form of video content when it comes to the PGA Tour and a professional event, and I absolutely love it. I'm not making any predictions on who is going to win. I'm just excited to see these guys get out there and have fun. I feel like anybody that gets paired up with Kevin Kisner this week is probably going to have a really fun time. But yeah, so you guys check that out if you want. Tournament starts tomorrow on Thursday, ends on Sunday. And then next week, we have the Waste Management Phoenix Open. It is the absolute loudest, biggest party of the entire year. Man, I cannot wait. I'm really sad that I'm not going this year. If you have never been to the Waste Management Phoenix Open, you have to go. And honestly, like, if you've never been to a PGA Tour event, if you were going to go to one ever, I would say Waste Management is the one to go to. If you just want to go and enjoy your day and have fun and be outside and be around a ton of people with a ton of energy, Waste Management is by far, hands down, the absolute best golf tournament of the year. You'll never change my mind. I said what I said. Let's move on. Then we have the Super Bowl next week. Again, oh man, super excited. Crazy turn of events. The Super Bowl is being hosted in Arizona along with the Waste Management Phoenix Open. They always happen on the same weekend. They just don't always happen in the same city. This is the second time now in the last like 10 years or less that this has happened. So I'm really pumped for it. If you live in Arizona, I really apologize because you're going to have so many effing people out there. It's going to be crazy. Traffic's going to be a nightmare, but it is what it is. Last but not least, can we talk about how the number one golf influencer on planet Earth, Paige Spiranek, now has her very own subscription site? Paige Renee has gone undone it. She now has an OnlyPage account. If you are involved in the world of golf and you're not thinking about this, talking about this, or hearing about this, you're oblivious. This young lady has over 3 million followers on Instagram alone. That's more than Tiger fucking Woods, okay? And I'm just telling you right now, the first thought that popped into my head when she announced that she was launching her subscription site was basically like that old cartoon of Scrooge McDuck opening up his vault of gold and like diving into a bunch of gold coins and just doing like the backstroke, swimming through all of his freaking money. This girl is gonna make such an astronomical amount of money right now. It's not even funny. And I'm super excited for her, man. Like she's been through so much shit. She's busted her ass. She has a ton of great insight on golf tournaments that happened or are coming up. She's a former professional golfer. She knows exactly what she's talking about. She's had golf instruction from any imaginable golf instructor that is at a high level that you can think of. She's been around and surrounded by the world of golf her entire life. She knows what's up. She has a whole list of stuff. I'm not even going to worry about getting into it, but it is a massive thing that's happened in the world of golf social media that Paige Spiranek now has her very own OnlyPage account. I think it's hilarious. I love how she did a play on an OnlyFans account because she's not actually going like that OnlyFans route, which is good on her, man. Like, she doesn't need to. Crazy week in golf. What's going to happen this week? Who knows, man? Maybe Jordan Spieth decides to be a daredevil on the eighth hole at Pebble and gets too close to the edge this time and slips and falls. Hopefully he doesn't do that. Hopefully he doesn't hurt. I'm not wishing that upon him, but I just don't know. Like, every week in golf now, there's some crazy ass shit happening. There's some crazy storyline or headline, and who knows what's going to happen this week in golf, but I'm looking forward to watching it. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Again, do me a favor. If you like this, please like and subscribe to the podcast. Please leave me a 5-star review. Leave any kind of comments that you want. If you ever want to reach out to me, you can hit me up at teeithighpodcast@gmail.com. But until next week, you guys have a great weekend. Enjoy this weekend of sports, and I'll see you later.